Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Susan, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, April 16th, 2026, and we are reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter More About Alcoholism, page 31, the second paragraph. Here are some of the methods we have tried, ending with, "We could increase the list ad infinitum." Today's readers are Kara L., who will read the text, Shelley E., a Vision for You, and Vanessa G. as our backup. Alex K. is our newcomer greeter, and Leslie M. will share announcements. The reference numbers for Wednesday, April 15th, 10 a.m. Eastern, is 23,370, and for Thursday, April 16th, 7 a.m. Eastern, 23,374. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. As a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Lisa W. in Denver, Colorado, to please read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. Thank you so much. Lisa W. from Denver, Colorado. One, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves, I can say compulsive eating, right? So I'm going to start over. We admitted we were powerless over compulsive eating, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me be of service.
Thank you, Lisa. And I will now ask Beth S. in California to please read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Beth.
Good morning. Thank you. My name's Beth, and I'm a compulsive overeater. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting. declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional. Service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you, Beth. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we're going to resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter More About Alcoholism on page 31, the second paragraph, starting with, here are some of the methods we have tried, ending with, we could increase the list ad infinitum. And I will now ask Cara L. to please start reading and sharing with us. Thank you, Cara.
Good morning, Susan. This is Cara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Here are some of the methods we have tried. Drinking beer only, limiting the number of drinks, never drinking alone, never drinking in the morning, drinking only at home, never having it in our house, never drinking during business hours, drinking only at parties, switching from scotch to brandy, drinking only natural wines, agreeing to resign if ever drunk on the job, taking a trip, not taking a trip, swearing off forever, with and without a solemn oath, taking more physical exercise, reading inspirational books, going to health, accepting voluntary commitment to asylum. We could increase the list ad infinitum. And, you know, in the paragraph before, we had talked about, you know, really for me deciding that, you know, not even deciding, but just coming to believe that, you know, I'm a hopeless compulsive eater. And this list was my proof, right? This list showed me how many times I thought that my plan, my fixed mindset on it was the answer. And my willpower, if I could only stay to this, I would be thin. And if everybody knows, I know that if I'm thin, everything is amazing, right? Oh, gosh, you know, to operate under that for so many years. And what it usually ended up with was I would wake up in the morning with a firm resolve to do well. I had my plan, you know, one of these plans that I decided I was going to try. And I would have a diet breakfast, and then I would continually eat the rest of the day until I was demoralized. And then I would make a firm resolution for the next day, the next week, the next new year, the next Monday, the next whenever. And that's how the cycle went. And my life was unmanageable, and there was nothing I could do about it. You know, I kept trying these things. And today it doesn't help either. I mean, social media and all these, you know, everything that onslaughts me saying, well, this is the answer. Today, for me, all I know is the answer is a power greater than myself. And my answer for me today is to say, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm going to step out of Kara's world and into God's world. And just say, God, today, please just put in front of me anything I can do to be of service. And I have to say that throughout the day. How do I serve here, God? How do I stay in your space? Open my mind. Give me the words. You know, I invite you in. What do you think about my lipstick? What do you think about my shoes? Just a constant practice, because my intuitiveness says, go back to control. Go back. You know, that's not my intuitiveness. That's my will. My intuitiveness says, breathe. Be with a higher power. You know, that for today is what I do. I stop, I breathe, and I say, God, I invite you in. Whatever your will is, please put it in front of me. Make it easy for me to do. And then life is so much calmer and wonderful.
Perfect time.
I'm going to pass with that. No, perfect time.
Thank you, Cara. Thank you. Thank you so much for starting us off today. So let me tell you where we are before we begin anything else. We are on page 31. Cara just kindly read for us the second paragraph. Here are some of the methods we have tried through to we could increase the list ad infinitum. So that is the one paragraph that we are sharing on today. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day. And again, as a reminder, if you were on the earlier meeting and shared, you don't get to double dip, in order that others might share their experiences too. So what I need from you, please, is your first name, last initial, and the state or country you are calling from so people can find you on the member list. Who would like to share this morning?
Jana M.
Marcel F.
Who was M?
Liesl F.
Jana.
Hold on one. Dana M. Liesl, but there was somebody else before Liesl.
Marcel F. from Manitoba,
Marcel.
Canada.
F in Canada, and Dana and Liesl, you'll tell us where you're from when you share. And who else would like to join this group?
Michelle
W. California.
Michelle W. California. Somebody in Florida?
No, it was Michelle AC in Colorado. Another Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. Okay, was somebody in California and then somebody in Florida?
Carrie W. in California.
Carrie, thank you. And who is in Florida, or did I dream that?
Michelle okay. D. from Virginia.
Michelle D. from Virginia. Okay. Anyone else? All right, here's who I have. Dana M., Liesl, Marcel F., Michelle A.C. in Colorado, Kerry W. in California, and Michelle D. in Virginia. So Dana M., could you start us off, please, and let us know where you're calling from today. Thank you so much. And everybody else, star one to mute yourself. Thank you.
Hey, everyone. This is Jana M. It's actually Jana with a J.
Sorry.
It's like Dana
okay.
with a J. No, that's okay. I'm in Arizona. And really glad to be on the meeting. Thank you so much for your service. So I love this paragraph because I definitely see myself here. I mean, I've tried everything, the pain ways, Nutrisystem, drops, pills, shots. I could increase the list ad infinitum. And all of those different methods that I tried to control my weight, they did work when I worked them. I mean, I lost the weight until I stopped working them. But with all of them, none of those methods ever turned down the food noise in my head, the constant negotiating and mental gymnastics. I mean, like food was just, it's always noisy. And abstinence and recovery is the only thing where like that food noise is gone. I really don't think about food between meals. I don't see the food in my house that's not mine. I live with other people who are not compulsive eaters, so I'm surrounded by trigger foods. I'm not triggered. And that is all truly, truly miraculous. And I'm so grateful for it. But once the food noise is quiet, oh, there's a whole other slew of emotions and thoughts and ways that I tried to manage and control and seek ease and comfort. And now I'm left with all these uncomfortable feelings. And, you know, food really wasn't my problem. It was my solution to, you know, life and the overwhelm of life. And so that's where the rest of the program and the rest of the steps come in, because, you know, as I work them, as I continue to use them, I get a better tool set for dealing with all that noise that's not food related, that still goes through, you know, my head frequently. And the more I do program, the more that turns down. And the less I do it, because I try to negotiate within program. I don't need to make this many calls. I don't need to do this many meetings, stuff like that. And I notice that noise comes back the less that I'm in program. And the more I do it, the more that turns down. So it really is like a lifetime endeavor for me to just continue going deeper with this. And I'm really glad to be here, glad for this meeting, glad for all of your support, because it's helping me grow up. So thank you all. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Jana M. in Arizona. Next, we have Liesl. And if Liesl, if you could tell us where you are calling from this morning. Thank you.
It's Liesl F., San Diego, California. Just, you know, surrendering my controlling tendencies. One thing that I've noticed that's helped me as bumper rails is I just keep asking myself, am I trying to control this? And I've noticed that I've always been trying to control my eating. And like, for example, even if I'm hungry, I say, you can't be hungry. It's too early to be hungry. And I recognize that voice is my disease. And then I have recently been asking myself, are you trying to control your hunger? And then I say, yes, I am. And I say, okay, you know, give yourself permission to have your meal. It's okay that it's earlier than normal, because that's a loving and kind thing to do. And so I've noticed in looking back, my disease has morphed throughout, you know, in all different ways, overeating, undereating, overexercising, yada, yada, yada. A lot of it, it's like that first hunger signal, and I get the signal I'm hungry, and then I immediately am like, no, you can't be hungry. And then I notice, you know what, I find that I control other things that are humanly functions, such as being tired. When I'm tired, I'm like, no, you can't be tired. Why can't I be tired, and why can't I be hungry? These are human functions. And so I pray for the willingness for God to help me to be a good mom to myself, because I do want to be a mom one day. And I had the realization, if a child was hungry, if a child was tired, I wouldn't deny that of them. And so with God's help, I ask for his help to help nurture myself so I can, you know, use this food as fuel to do thy will. And to stop seeing it as good or bad, but just, you know, these are signals that I need to learn to tune into. And with God's help, be able to properly take care of myself. But I do see that these are all controlling things. And the food screams at me when I am emotional. I'm going through grief and loss in a move. And I notice the food, even my abstinent foods, like just the food was screaming at me, and this is my compass. You know, it's not that I'm failing. It's just, that's how, those are alarms to me. Like, hey, you've got emotions and things to program. I can call a fellow and just say, oh my gosh, I'm having a human experience. I'm feeling emotional. And it I feel like the food screams at me anytime. Oh, thank you. So I'll pass, and thanks all for being here.
Thank you so much, Liesl F. in San Diego, California. Next, we have Marcel F. in, I believe you said, Manitoba, Canada. Good morning, Marcel.
Good morning, Susan. Thank you for your service. Yes, I'm Marcel F., as in Frank, from Manitoba, Canada. And oh my goodness, I just love this reading. I call it the crazy list. You know, I could add to the crazy list some of the crazy things I've done to try and control my eating. Rules, rules, rules. And, you know, all the ways I've tried, and yes, as was mentioned, it worked for a bit, but then it did until it didn't work. And, you know, I've tried to eliminate sugar, and then but then I was ingesting sugar-free things. And that was the hardest thing to give up. And then I thought, well, you know, it's natural, organic, or like honey and maple syrup. But, you know, my brain is wired differently. I am a real compulsive overeater. So many firm resolutions and then complete demoralization. I remember standing in the supermarket line so many years browsing the magazines for the latest diet. But I couldn't do it on my own human power. I needed to ask God in to help. I needed to have that humility. And that is what brought me the gifts and the promises of recovery. The gift of food neutrality, I never thought that this was possible, that I could be surrounded by my alcoholic foods and not even notice them or want them. And, you know, when I first came to OA, all I wanted to do was to lose weight. I knew I could do that, but I was starting to wonder if I could continue because I always followed it with, you know, a weight gain. At my first OA meeting, I met a gentleman who had lost 100 pounds and was keeping it off for years. So, of course, that was, you know, the hook. So tell me what you do. Tell me what you do. And today I know that that was only the beginning. Just to lose the weight, I had a limited understanding of why I ate the way I did. And the steps have shown me that. How to live life on life's terms. The disappointments, the joys, all of the things that, the beautiful things that bless my life. So thank you very much for letting me share. Thank you for this meeting and for all who do service. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Marcel S. Next, we are going to Colorado. Good morning, Michelle AC.
Good morning, Susan. This is Michelle AC, gratefully recovered in Boulder, Colorado. And this paragraph did me a world of good when I read it the first time in OA, because a lot of the things I did, I thought were normal. Like I really did think that wouldn't anyone do this if they needed to lose some weight? And I don't even know how to answer that question now. I don't know. I think that question might be over my pay grade at this moment. But when I got to the next paragraph and it said you can diagnose yourself pretty quickly, I thought, oh, I think I need to write this down. Like, what are the things I did? And the list is so enormous that I don't even like reading it out loud. I mean, it's enormous. And I feel like, okay, I thoroughly explored the ways in which I could use food eating, food behaviors to try to get rid of the sense of misery and uselessness and hopelessness that I was feeling. And clearly it didn't work, right? But none of those things were particularly easy. Sometimes I thought they were the easy way out, but they weren't. They might have been, no, they weren't even simple. They weren't easy. They were hard things to do, and yet they didn't get me anywhere. And I think they didn't get me anywhere because they dealt with the food directly and only. And they didn't deal with what was really under the food, which was this dis-ease that I felt walking around in the world all the time from the time I was a little kid. My skin just didn't fit me right. And I thought my skin didn't fit me right because my body was the wrong shape or size. But in fact, my skin didn't fit me right because I wasn't connected to a higher power. And, you know, I'd go back to the there is a solution that we read just a couple, well, it's been a couple weeks ago, but a couple pages ago. But none of us like the self-searching leveling of our pride and the confession of shortcomings, which the process requires. That somehow people complain is hard in comparison, including me, in comparison to all of those things I did that were so excruciatingly unpleasant or difficult and were misplaced effort. And so I don't know, I think seeing that it worked for other people, seeing that people were living inside of their skin in a way that felt like luminous to me, made this huge difference, because that whole other list of things, I never saw anybody look luminous while they were white knuckling a diet. I can definitely tell you that. And so I did really see the hopelessness and the futility in those things. And, you know, we live in a world where those things are offered to us through social media, through other people's conversations, through the news all the time as a successful solution. And now I just look at it with a sense of real sadness because, you
that's
know.
That's time, Michelle.
Oh, great. That's perfect. Thank you, Susan. I'll pass.
Call Michelle for the rest of that story. Next, we're going back to San Diego. Good morning to Kerry W. in San Diego, California.
Hi, this is Kerry W. from California, San Diego, and compulsive overeater. Susan, thank you for your service and everyone that's making this meeting possible. It saved my life. And I have so many different ways that I tried here, you know, the Jenny Craig and the Weight Watchers, and I did the shakes and tried to just live on shakes and juicing and, you know, just so many different things written down here. And even the OA, when I started, you know, I kept going in and out because I kept trying to do my own food plan. And I'm like, oh, I can eat. I think this is a yellow food. You know, I could never get my food right. And then when I discovered the Vision for You and, you know, go talk to a professional, a nutritionist on food, that made so much sense because I cannot be in charge of my food. I have to surrender my food to my higher power because I'm a food addict. So there's no way I can make my own food plan. You know, I had a nutritionist make a food plan for me, and I try and stay out of the food business. Because I've realized that that's a God-shaped hole that I'm trying to fill with food, and it doesn't ever work. So the Vision for You meetings have really helped me studying the big book paragraph by paragraph and realizing that I have all these emotions, you know, caused by defects that are the core of my problem, you know, that I have to go and I have to look at those and grow and do some work, you know. And when I do some work, you know, then my life gets better. And to find a higher power that I can connect with, that I can surrender my food to, has really saved my life. And I had never believed that you guys were food neutral. I kept hearing that. I'm going, there's no way that I'm going to ever be food neutral. I just don't think that's possible. But it did happen. You know, it took a few months, but it did happen. So now I believe you. And what a miracle, you know, this program is. I'm so glad I'm here, and I feel so grateful today that I don't have to live always thinking about food. And thanks for letting me share. Everybody have a great day.
Thank you, Kerry W. Okay, let's move on. Next, we have Michelle D. in Virginia. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. Good morning, and thank you all for your service. This is Michelle D. in Brook, Virginia. I'm going to be a little bit different here. I am a real compulsive overeater, and I didn't actually try too many things before I got completely demoralized and just stopped trying. I used to do crazy things like pray to be anorexic, but only, you know, long enough to lose the weight and then suddenly become, you know, without an eating disorder anymore. But so I, even in all the pain ways and other things that I did try, I was never able to lose more than 15 pounds, and I would immediately gain it back. The most I was ever able to give to a diet was 3 weeks. And but there was a time in my life when I lost 90 pounds, and I did it almost effortlessly. And it was when I started taking flying lessons. And I realized I did this way before I came into program, But now that when I came into program, I realized that that was, for me, a spiritual experience. When I was flying, I didn't have any worries about the future. I didn't have any, you know, regrets about the past. I was fully present. I was able to look at the world from a different perspective, from what I feel like is God's perspective. I could appreciate nature. I did things that were, you know, set up to keep myself alive. I paid attention to the instruments that I had. And I was flying an airplane from just after World War II, very simple, not a lot of instruments to deal with. But the second that I came back down and started heading toward my house, all that stuff would come back. All the food noise would come back. I was bulimic at the time, and bulimia would hit me. And but anyway, I came into this program about 15 years later, and I realized that when I am truly, truly connected to my higher power, and I've done the steps and I'm using the tools, I can have that same experience. It takes more effort. I can't just go hop into an airplane and leave everything behind. I have to do it in the real world. And it's not as easy. But when I do it, when I'm fully connected to my higher power, I can be present. I can be of service to other people and not just taking from everyone. I can be giving. And it's a miracle. It's truly a miracle. And I'm very thankful also for these meetings. These meetings have saved my life. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Michelle D. in Virginia. So let me remind you where we are this morning before I take some more names. Page 31, second paragraph. Here are some of the methods we have tried through to we could increase the list ad infinitum. So if this is your third day to share on either vision meeting, I need your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from this morning. So star one away and let me get some names.
Jody E., California.
Thank you, Jody.
Lucinda F., Austin, Texas.
Thank you, Lucinda. Fabulous paragraph, don't hold out. Time does start to fly by at this point of the meeting. All right, well, we will go with Jody E. and Lucinda F. in Texas for now. Jody, go ahead, please.
Thank you, Susan. Good morning, everyone. My name is Jody E., and I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, anorexic, and bulimic. What are the ways that I tried to control this disease? Well, it started with dieting at the age of 17. And I remember I took a nutrition class, the first of many, and learned that milk had a lot of calories in it, so I stopped drinking milk. And now, at the age of 67, I have osteoporosis because my dieting was quote-unquote successful. And between the age of 17 and 20, I lost 30 pounds, and I wasn't that heavy to begin with. And what I lost was not only fat, but bone and muscle. I'm sure my weight went down, but so did my health. So that was one of the ways that I tried. Did it work? No. Did the new food noise abate? Not at all. On the contrary, it got louder. So the weight went down, but the obsession grew. That's what happens when I try to control this disease. It just gets worse, never better. What else did I try? I tried to keep, you know, the I eventually realized I had a problem with sugar and flour products. And so I stopped baking at one point. I had been a professional pastry chef. I stopped doing that. I studied nutrition, got a certificate in nutrition. And none of that worked. It's only been, as has been said, it's only been getting to the root of the problem, which is not physical. The larger aspect of my disease is emotional and spiritual. And yes, I have to address the physical part of my disease. Then I really have to work on the emotional and spiritual aspects of my disease by working these 12 steps, which includes all that we do, going to meetings, sponsoring, being sponsored, taking a daily inventory, making amends when appropriate, all of it. And I get to, thank you, Susan, I get to live this way of life, and I wouldn't change it for anything. Thank you all.
Thank you, Jody, so much. Next, we're going to Austin, Texas. Good morning to Lucinda F.
Hi, this is Lucinda, grateful overeater, compulsive eater in Texas. Thank you for your service and what wonderful shares. I've gotten so much out of listening to you all that I don't get anywhere else. It's what we can do for each other. We can say a few things and understand each other, which is really important for me because I could write pages and pages taking this paragraph and writing down the things I have done. And I definitely agree that all of that was struggling to find a way to deal with my own being, my own emotions, my own traumas, my own issues. And I failed. It only got worse. But coming in and listening to A Vision for You and going through the big book, every time I work it, it works. And I continue to be a project of work. So I could definitely add to the list, add infinitum. And I just am really grateful to have this meeting and its recordings available to me so that I can hear all of you all. It is just what the doctor ordered. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Lucinda F. in Austin, Texas. All right, my friends, whose third day is it? Who would like to share on this fabulous paragraph? Star one to unmute.
Jamie,
please.
Jamie G.
Which
in Michigan?
Jamie, thank you, Jamie.
Stephen, South Carolina.
Thank you, Stephen.
Brenda in Washington State.
Thank you, Brenda. My pen is running out.
Okay. Judy in California.
Who is that in California?
Judy I.
Judy. Okay, thank you. All right, we'll pause there. I have Jamie G., Stephen, Brenda and Judy I. So Jamie G. in Michigan, over to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Susan. Jamie G. in Michigan here, recovering, not recovered at this point. I can relate to a lot of these, but even if I pan out, if I zoom back, some of the methods we have tried, and I was thinking as I was listening and reflecting that it's not just the things that I did to try to manage and control the food before I came into program or when I've been in the food, but also the unmanageability of my life and the efforts that I've made to manage it even when in program. And I reflected on when I do a 10th step, which I've, you know, historically slacked in doing that, the question it boils down to is, does self-reliance work No. Have I been relying on self, or have I been on finite self or infinite God? And I've been relying on finite self, the illusion of control, the illusion of power. And even in trying to orchestrate my own recovery, you know, what have I, the methods I've tried in program, like compulsively going to meetings, being OCD when given an assignment, like writing a transcript of the podcast on the chapter in the big book instead of just my five takeaways, just overdoing on that. You know, trying to manage the food after I've submitted a food plan to my sponsor, going back and wanting to make a change and not realizing that I'm getting a hit from making changes and taking control and being impulsive and spontaneous, and having to really get honest about that. So I don't know that it's so much whether I identify with each of these individual things or whether other people have done the same things as me. It is a first step issue. You know, I have to admit that I'm powerless, and that I'm powerless over alcohol, that I'm powerless over this disease, and the unmanageability of my life. It's not just with the food. And if I look closely, I can see the efforts of my trying to control in relationships, trying to control on the job, trying to control even in program, thinking I know best. And I'm just so thankful that I have a solution today in these 12 steps in my relationship with God that they bring me to. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jamie G. in Michigan. Next, we have Stephen in South Carolina. And Stephen, if you could share your last initial with us. Thank you so much.
Sure. Stephen D., D as in Delta, in South Carolina. Thank you for chairing the meeting today, and I'm grateful to be here and grateful for sobriety. I'm a compulsive overeater who's in recovery. This is a great, great paragraph. You know, when I relied on many, you know, fasting, diets, self-discipline, you know, the, you know, miracle prayers just changed my thinking, you know, a lot of different things that did not work because they did not remove or they weren't dealing with my self-pity or my self-reliance. I was consumed with relief, and I tried to get relief from these other means of eating or diets or fasting, and because that's what I went to the food for, was for some sort of relief. And somehow, miraculously, I had someone reach out to me when I got on this meeting one morning, and they also said they were available for to be a sponsor, and they became my sponsor, and I started working the steps. I was told to go to meetings. It was also suggested to you know, reach out to people every day, and I began doing those steps and listening to different talks and coming to these meetings, and then things started to change. It started to address the relief I was looking for. It started to address the self-pity, the self-reliance. And it wasn't a snap your fingers. It's for me at least, it's a daily process. Even this morning, I did not want to get on a meeting this morning. I've got a lot on my plate. And then, you know, the thought came into my head, this is the most important thing I can do today for myself and for other people. You know, this helps me to be a better dad and a better husband, a better friend when I'm working my program. And it also keeps me, it addresses that need for relief that stirs up in me. And so I'm grateful to be here this morning. That's all I have. Pass.
Thank you so much, Stephen D. in South Carolina. Next, we're going to Washington State to Brenda. And Brenda, if you could kindly give us your last initial. Thank you.
Yeah, it's S, Brenda S. in Washington State. Yeah. Thank you for everybody doing this. This is super helpful and brings a lot of clarity to the situation. Yeah, the food is very noisy, and I love
thought of the toxic buildup of the emotions. That's super helpful. It's just a lot of clarity here, you know, the illusion of control, admitting that I'm powerless. You know, I have tried some of these things, you know, I have my own. Yeah, anyway, I just really am appreciating this. It's just excellent, super helpful. It just is bringing a deeper understanding. And I just wanted to say hi and thank you, everyone.
Well, hi to you too, Brenda S. in Washington State. And our last share for this morning will be Judy I. Go ahead, Judy.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
I'm Judy from Petaluma, California, and thank you, everybody, for your shares, and Susan, for your service. And I'm working on step three, and what I'm realizing, this is a step I'll be doing the rest of my life, because I'm certain that I'm powerless, and I have tried many things. I've never been able to stay on a diet for more than a few days. I've never been a successful dieter. But I have tried a lot of psychological attempts to make myself stop eating, but those have not worked any better than what other people have talked about. But what I'm seeing today is that I need to do step three every single day and not just remember steps one and two and how powerless I am and unmanageable my life is because of my disease, but I have to turn my will and my life over to the care of something greater than me every single day. I cannot do this by myself. I need to say, you know, the kind of prayers that I have for myself. I have to reach out to you guys and hear God through skin. I have to work the steps, and I have to do this program and be conscious that it's a spiritual solution, and I'm not going to fix it. Nobody's going to fix it for me. And thank God we're all together here having this program and get to hear each other. And thank you so much, everybody, for sharing your recovery.
We have a minute 20 seconds, but I'm not sure if anybody wants that. All right, the rest of us will share tomorrow.
Lauren
thank
W.
you all for us. Okay, you've got 1 minute. Go ahead. No? Okay. All right. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book. And of course, thank you to everybody who was of service this morning, our whole team for Thursdays in the month of April. And if everybody could stay muted right now, that would be most helpful. Thank you. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will the lovely Shelley E. please read a vision for you for us? Thank you, Shelley. Okay, maybe something's happened.
I remuted myself.
Are you there?
I unmuted myself.
Okay.
I'm here. I apologize.
Go ahead.
Thanks, Susan. I guess I'm going to take that last minute. Shelley E., a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. The Big Book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's so sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you for